God's name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Peace of Christ be with you. Happy Friday, Hope College. Yes, yes, yes. Hey, we have some guests that are going to take a look at Hope College and considering whether you should come. And the answer is yes. The answer is yes. We want to welcome you here. Yeah, we want to be your people. We want to be your people. One quick announcement, one notice. We still have a few more spots on our immersion trips, particularly for men. Men, if you're looking to get more connected, this would be a great opportunity. Consider giving yourself the Christmas gift of an immersion trip this year. Fantastic. Well, I've been walking around with a deep sense of anticipation, energy. I love this time of year. Walk outside, it's cold in my lungs. I got my scarf, my gloves. Feels so good. I love winter. I love it. But the expectation isn't just about the seasonal change. I feel like I'm expecting something, or maybe someone. And maybe I am, because it's time. Time. Time is an interesting thing. One of the questions that you'll find yourself asking throughout your life, no matter how old you are, is what time is it? It's one of those questions that's just going to keep coming up again and again and again. What time is it for you? I mean, of course, there's what we call chronos time. Like, it's November 30th, 2018 of the year of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's that time. But as I look around the chapel, Dimnit, and she's all dressed up, showing herself off, it tells me that Vespers is coming on this week. And Vespers inaugurates what we call in the Christian church Advent. Advent, the Kairos time, a sense of anticipation. Advent is that season in the church, inaugurates on Sunday, the opening of the church year. It's January 1 to Christians on Sunday. It's the beginning of the year, not, you know, our calendar got all messed up. But within the church, Advent starts us forward. And Advent is that 4 weeks before Christmas. And we got Epiphany, and we get Lent, and we get Holy Week, and we get Easter, and we get ordinary time, and the church moves in these rhythms of time. This is what time it is. And I love Advent because it invites you and me to prepare our hearts for a longing for that which we were made for. Something, or maybe someone. Longing is one of those interesting things. We are creatures of longing. You're at college. It's a really smart place with lots of smart people. And one of the goals in college is to pour a lot of information into your brain, like a bobblehead. You know, if you get it all in there and it falls just right, you're going to know things, know how to do things, right? And that's good. But knowledge without desire, that's not wisdom. You're not just a brain in a vat. You are a creature made for a certain end. You are a creature that was designed with feelings and with longings and with desire. And desires are tricky because one of the easiest things to do in life is self-deception. And you really have to unpack, what is my real desire? A lot of our desires are culturally conditioned, or we inherit them, other people's expectations on our lives. Maybe your parents, or maybe a friend or a brother or sister or a boyfriend or a girlfriend. And though we take on those desires, but they're not really your desire. And so you got to ask yourself, what is it you really, really want in life? What is it you're really going to pursue? What would you die for? What would you give everything for? What is it that is for you, you're at the core essence? And only you can answer this for yourself. No one else can. What is it that you really want? What time is it? It's time to answer that question. And when I need to answer that question, one of the places I go to is Scripture. And one of the places in Scripture I go to is a favorite psalm. And I want to share it with you today, with your permission. Psalm 27. It's a compass for me. When I get a little fuzzy about what is it I'm really after in my life, I go here. So here are these words from the poet of Psalm 27. Listen, listen, the bush that burns and is never consumed. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Of whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When evildoers assail me to devour my flesh, my adversaries and foes, they shall stumble and fall. Though an army encamp against me, yet I will be confident. Yet war rise up against me, yet I will not fear. One thing I ask of the Lord, that will I seek after, to live in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For he will hide me in his shelter in the day of trouble. He will conceal me under the cover of his tent. He will set me high upon a rock. And now my head is lifted up above my enemies all around me. And I will offer in his tent sacrifices with shouts of joy. I will sing and make melody to the Lord. But hear, O Lord, when I cry aloud, be gracious to me and answer me. Come, my heart says, seek his face. Your face, Lord, do I seek. Do not hide your face from me. If my father and mother forsake me, the Lord will take me up. Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me on a level path because of my enemies, for false witnesses have risen against me and they are breathing out violence. I believe I shall see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong. Let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. When I'm trying to wrestle with what I truly desire and remember and remind myself, this is where I go. And I need to answer that question. What is it I really am longing for? Because what you long for is what you will seek. Jesus says, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So what is your treasure? What is it that you really long for? And when I'm in this psalm, I'm reminded that which I was made for, that which is my destiny and my future and yours. I love this psalm, how it ends. If I had a personal credo or an elevator version of what I'm really hoping for in life, it would end this way. I believe I shall see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. I'm someone who wants to wake up every single day and walk outside and feel the cold air and the scarf around my neck and the gloves on my hands, and I want to see it. I want to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. I don't want to wait till I die and go by and by. I want it now, here, in this place. I want to see the justice roll down like flowing water. I want to see reconciliation. I want to see lovers holding hands and puppies jumping over walls. I want to see the Christmas lights on the trees. I want to see all the goodness and the beauty. Right? I want to see that. But there's a reminder in here of even something more than just God's goodness. The psalmist says in the middle of this, and this psalm is filled with, like, if you're paying attention, armies and camping and enemies breathing out violence. People are seeking to do harm. And yet the psalmist ends with this confident vision of seeking the good of the Lord. But in the midst of all of that dissonance and dysfunction, in the middle of the psalm, in verse 7 and 8, it says, hear, O Lord, as I cry aloud. This is the psalmist's cry. The soul-curdling prayer, that which this psalmist most desires, most longs for. Come, my heart says, seek his face. Your face, Lord, do I seek. Do not hide your face from me. Your face, God. That which the psalmist most longs for and wants is God's face. It's a symbol, it's a picture of relationship, right? If you know someone's face, if you long to see their face, to cry out to see their face, they're probably a good friend or your family. A face is the window into the soul. To see somebody's eyes light up and just know their particular smile and their facial expressions. My mom and dad are visiting. My dad, Mom, you still here? Maybe she left. She couldn't handle listening to me. Dad, wave. Yeah. As you get older, I'm like 45 and middle-aged in minivan. Yeah, give Dave some love. He raised me. I love him. Yeah. But, you know, like, You're young, and all of it's before you, and he's almost dead. And I'm just kidding. I'm so sorry. I'm in this middle-aged man. I got these two kids, and my mom and dad are visiting, and my dad's living on an air mattress right now, and it's really sad. But what I'm so excited, I get to see his face. And it doesn't matter how old you get, you long to see their face. It's their face. It's my dad. It's my mom. It's their face. The psalmist says, I'm crying out to see your face, God. And then in the Bible, the face is an interesting picture and metaphor, because when Moses is on Sinai, he can't see God's face. He gets hidden cleft in the rock, and God puts his hand over his face, and he passes by, because if he sees God's face, he might die. The holiness, the beauty, the majesty, the gravity, the consequence of God's reality could kill us if we saw it all at once. T.S. Eliot says we humans cannot handle too much reality. God's face is the most real. And that is what the psalmist cries out for, because that is our end. You were made for God. And so seek his face. I love that quote by the writer of The Little Prince. It's attributed to him, at least. Antoine Saint D'Axbury, I think his name is, who writes that if you want to build a ship, don't drum up people to collect wood and assign tasks. Instead, teach them to long for the endless immensity of the sea. In other words, if you want to build a ship, don't just make sails and make planks and bang some boards together. What you need is a longing to go out into the endless immensity of the sea. And that's what I hope happens for you at Hope College. What we're trying to do here is not teach you how to pray or teach you how to read your Bible. What we want more than anything is for you to begin to long for the endless immensity of the beauty and holiness of God. That is what the psalmist is crying for. To see God. And I don't care where you go, north, south, east, or west, what vocation you will be called to pursue, who you end up in a relationship or not with, my prayer for you is that you will long for God. Because here's the really good news. Advent prepares us to receive a God who longs for us. The good news of Christmas is that the God of Jesus Christ is a God who seeks you. The Word becomes flesh, and God comes down for us. God is seeking us. You may be far off, but God is coming for you. You may be in darkness, but the light will shine. The true light will shine and expand all that darkness. God seeks us. That's the good news. So, as we get ready for Advent and for Christmas, as you go into this weekend and prepare for finals, finish the last papers and put the period at the end of the sentence, it's time, my friends, it's time to seek God, long for God. May it be so for you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Go in peace and know you're loved.